What up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast episode 84 on Sunday, August 1st, finally out of July. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, aka your best friend, aka your unexpected dungeon master. And Michael, from all these delays we've been getting, I'm going to need you to make a constitution saving roll.
I was like, wait, where are you going with this?
Oh, it's an 18. We're okay for now. We're okay for now, Michael.
Are we though? Games have been delayed though.
Yeah, they have been delayed. It's kind of a bummer. Across from me, Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero. How's it going?
How long have you been playing now? Is that just a spur of the moment thing? Or are you like, okay, starting Monday, I got this idea, I'm going to use it.
Actually, I think I was just packing stuff up today and I had, you know, dice laying out and about as one does, you know, and I was like, huh, that would be fun. So I grabbed it and I was like, here we go, we're doing this today.
There you go.
Yeah, just, you know, just in the moment kind of thing, you know, that's the best kind of stuff.
It is the best kind. When you plan things, sometimes they don't work out.
Yeah, sometimes you plan things out and then your words just stumble over each other and you're just like, this didn't work at all.
Sounds better in my head, but when I said it, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a common thing for a lot of people, for even things outside of podcasting, but... As people may or may not know, this is a video game podcast where we talk about sometimes news that happened during the week, sometimes unfortunate delays, and that seems to be the majority of the time this year.
Yep.
And then, you know, other times talking about games that we like to play. Sometimes we bring some topics, which I don't think actually we talked about ahead of time if we had anything special there. Yeah. Michael's shaking his head no.
Did you have anything? Listening.
I don't think so. I had something, but I've forgotten. Because of this whole D&D bit over here.
there have been like curious things I can ask you, but not like a full-fledged like topic.
Yeah, but I think this time around, I'm not sure about, because I haven't spoken with you about how games, like which games you've played and stuff this week, but I've played a few different things, and I think majority of the time we can probably spend talking about that, just because, you know, there's some decent things to talk about in terms of kind of stuff we've been playing, but yeah, we'll see how things are going. For now, though, if people have questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. And let's go ahead and start off with some of these unfortunate delays, Michael.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody, just get ready here, okay? Because, like I said...
Not surprising, but...
it's been quite a week in terms of delays overall. I'm gonna roll and see if I take some psychic damage. It's a 6 out of 12. It's a 6. It's pretty,
more
it's
coming.
Pretty bad. More coming. First off, the one that we, I'd say like the first one that I heard this week wasn't actually the biggest one, which shocked me, because the first one I was already like, oh man, head's hurting a little bit here. Kena Bridge of Spirits got delayed. That one originally coming out, this month, actually August, I think it was August 24th. I want to say
sounds about
Let
right.
Let me see. Probably would have been, yeah, I think it was August 24th is when it was coming out. Now, not coming out until September 21st, so about a month.
So a month, kind of pushed. Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Ember Labs needs some more time to kind of fine-tune things and whatnot there. I mean, obviously, I'm just a silly podcaster and commentator and stuff like that, so in my head, like, these vertical slices we've seen look amazing.
Oh,
I'm like, you don't need any more polish time, guys. Let's do this. Let's get this game on the roll.
But clearly, that's why we're not developers.
Exactly, yeah. This is why we're not behind the scenes. And, yeah, this is just kind of the way things are. So, going to be waiting another month for Kena Bridge of Spirits. Then, the next one dropped, Michael. And the next one hurt quite a bit.
But this one you had to kind of... think could happen.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in the back of my head, it's always been a, like, you know, this is entirely possible, right? And if it is possible, it's gonna suck, because my fantasy league can't take much more of these sucky things happening.
It's okay, you this happened. I have like two games that I'm going to have to drop that are big on my list, so don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is like, the more you can drop, the more you could potentially add something else. But as we get towards like the last half of the year, it's slim pickings, you know, like
unless
between
there's
the
games
two of
we
us.
Don't know.
Exactly.
Or surprise indie games that we think will do really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there's some that I'm just like, honestly, like I hope they do well and they look cool when I first see them. One such game, Omno, came out this past week, I think. And that one, I think, is scoring pretty well. It's in like the 80s or something right now. But a game I would have never picked. Because... like, one, I only heard of it, like, once in, I think, like, a quick showcase thing. And then, two, I'm just like, you know, first time, like, out of the gates indie game over here. Like, unless I'm really excited about it, I'm not putting a lot of faith in high scores and things. But clearly, it's doing well. Yeah. So it's like you can hit gold.
Like Chicory too. Chicory. Yeah, Chicory. Yeah, they say Chicory.
But yeah, you can hit gold, and you can also just like, you know, hit dynamite, I guess, where it explodes and it's a bad thing. It sounded like a good thing at first,
it's but funny. It wasn't. We act, both of us act like it, if it doesn't do like an 80 or higher, like, oh, that's not enough. But like 70 scores are still good.
I know.
Just and not for our league.
Yeah, and that's the sad thing is that like I think the way that the like league thing is set up, and we're talking about, for people unaware, this is Fantasy Critic, was it fantasycritic.games or something? Mm-hmm. Some kind of weird website name.
Yeah, but, .games.
Yeah, there we go. But basically, you know, that's where we do our Bros and Consoles fantasy league for video game releases and whatnot and scores. And at the moment, we're pretty close. We have an equal number of games released at the moment. Mm-hmm. Pretty close in scores, but Michael has the leg up because the two games that he counterpicked on my list have already come out, mm-hmm. which means he's current, like technically at a deficit from those things, and I have not been at a deficit from anything yet. So,
and I still haven't had a score for Binding of Isaac.
That's true as well. So because of these types of things, it's like, okay, we gotta wait and see if things change and whatnot. But as we get further and further, you know, when 12 Minutes comes out and when Back for Blood comes out, assuming they both do well, mm-hmm. then for sure, you know, scales will have shifted because now we're more so on like even ground and stuff there, but it'll be interesting. Now, what was I talking about for this, Thor? The
delay.
Yeah. The big delay. So it hurt, guys. It hurt just a bit. Just a bit. And it was also just because it was something I was looking forward to playing. And you know, if as some people may already know that I'm leading up to here, Horizon Forbidden West delayed into sometime early next year is what they've been saying.
I didn't say an exact date. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's probably good to point out, I don't think this has changed yet, but Sony hasn't confirmed this, but it's been confirmed by multiple sources, really, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, one being industry heavyweight Jeff Grubb, and the other one being another industry heavyweight journalist, Jason Schreier. His sources have kind of confirmed this as well. So it's basically been put out there now, and like, hey guys, this is pretty real, and so we're just gonna have to deal with it. They're saying / what they've heard is kind of a potential kind of state of play in September being the one to actually officially announce this. Mm-hmm. But Sony staying quiet, I think right now probably is a sign that they're not, you know, this isn't wrong information.
Yeah.
If it was, they'd probably be quick to be like, hey it's coming out still. Don't listen to these schlubs over here.
Yeah, schlubs. They'll use that exact word.
That's the exact verbiage from Sony PR. but it's going to be delayed into next year. And that was my, I think, number one draft pick or something for the original league.
It was.
Sad days.
It's okay, but you still have a pretty decent list with Deathloop, mm-hmm. Kena, mm-hmm. Halo, if that doesn't get delayed, but I don't think that will.
Yeah, at this point, I know people have said that, like, hey, Halo could potentially get delayed, and I'm like, no way, guys, no way.
Your Final Fantasy 16, you're gonna have to drop that one for sure.
I just keep waiting for them to announce that like it's not releasing, so that I can officially drop it.
You still got Metroid Dread, Lost Judgment, which is gonna be Game of the Year, Tales of Arise.
It's
gonna be my Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm iffy on seeing how Mario Golf Super Rush did and maybe Bravery Default 2 and Pokemon Snap. 80's not bad, but the remakes of remasters of Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are going to be.
Yeah, I've been interested in seeing how that does, but at this point, it's also something I'm like, I'm not going to drop it because there's really nothing else to try and grab at the moment here. So yeah, we'll kind of see what happens there. But yeah, there's clearly still things that could boost up numbers, but in terms of kind of, you know, just looking at the slate of things coming out soon, there is quite a bit of things coming out. It's like, I mean, August, before I picked up the director's cut for Ghost of Tsushima, there's literally nothing I was going to get points for in August. So I was just going to have to watch as my score just dropped and dropped and dropped.
And there's another game I bid on, too, that I might get.
Okay. Well, there we go. That'd be exciting. Give us the scoops.
No, because then you're going to try to outbid it.
No, because literally, like, and I'll just give you like a behind the scenes here. Literally, I don't see anything else on this list that I can drop because I think, for one, I've already dropped my max in terms of things. I think I have. And, you know, from the things that I have currently still that I'm hopeful will still come out, I don't want to drop anything else, basically. One that I was like, okay, like I need to know if this is coming out or not, was going to be Horizon Forbidden West and then also Final Fantasy 16. And I don't think we're going to hear anything about 16 until possibly Tokyo Game Show, which is this month. So it's going to be quite a while. So if you want to give scoops, you can. But if you want to just keep it secret.
Oh, we'll keep it a secret.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe. Name that movie, Michael.
You know I'm terrible at.
It's okay. Lord of the Rings, man. Lord of the Rings.
Like, I love Lord of the Rings, but I've never gotten that.
Okay, someone out there got it. They're just shouting that this in their car and whatnot. But that actually wasn't the only delay that we had to talk about in here besides Kena and Horizon Forbidden West. And this is just more of a like me thing that I was just like, man, this sucks. And probably went under the radar for most people and whatnot. But the game that recently came out, what was it, on Thursday of this past week, the 29th, when a whole bunch of games came out.
Yes.
That I was telling you guys about last week, I think so. Fuga Melodies of Steel.
Oh yeah.
So it was supposed to come out on everything same day. Unfortunately, though, there was a delay, or there still is a delay, on the PlayStation version and the, as like, you know, PS4, PS5, and the Switch version of the games. The Switch version, I think, was because there was some kind of like game breaking bug, essentially, where like if this happened, the game was like rendered unplayable type of thing. So they're trying to get that fixed before they basically like, you know, allow it to be purchased again on the store,
right?
And they I think already did their work and they confirmed the bugs that people were showing them and whatnot. And then on the PlayStation side, they said that there was a issue in terms of like the pricing scheme or something, some kind of like weird back end bug on the Sony side of things, so that the price wasn't what it was supposed to be type of thing. And so they were telling people like, hey, like, you know, refunds, you know, we'll get your refunds processed and stuff like that. And then for now, until they can get it fixed on their side, it's not available for purchase, which is super unfortunate. I think it's still available on Xbox, so if people want to play it, they can play it there. But I want to play some trophies, Michael. Trophies.
You gotta move past those trophies, man, and just enjoy the game. Yeah.
It's more than just that. It's just like I kind of want all games I play to be on like one system at this point, in a way. Obviously, like.
You have all three next gen consoles, though.
Yeah, so that's what I said. So I was starting off. Obviously, like I have the Xbox Series X also, and I want to play things over there. But it's like things that I wouldn't be able to play on PlayStation type of thing, right? Or things that are on Game Pass that I'm like, hey, great deal, greatest deal in gaming. I'm gonna go and use that as opposed to like spending the money over on PlayStation side.
That's fair.
So that kind of works out its way over there, but. That's what's been going on, Michael. A lot of things delayed. Sad things, but
in his regards.
Yeah, so many games that came out, but
yeah,
few sad release pushes. And
there'll probably be more.
I mean, yeah, we've got another 4 months. There's got bound to be some more over here. Hopefully, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
Minico's Night Market. Where you at? Where you at over there?
they had development problems for a while there, so they went dark. Dang. No, they said they're coming out 2021, but who knows?
Yeah, I know.
I'm really excited for that.
There's so many things that are like, yeah, we're coming out 2021, guys. But I'm like, are you really, though? Auction Free 2, are you really coming out 2021?
I don't know. Far Shore, they didn't even release. I
know. They said 2021 again. And yeah. I'm just like, but is it?
These games need to take the path of what Team Cherry's doing, Hollow Knight. Don't even give a release date. Don't say anything. but don't let the people you're putting the game on, like Nintendo, Sony, and Xbox, say coming soon, because that will just set expectations.
Yeah. Soon can be very far away.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll see what happens there. But other than that, though, that was pretty much it for the updates and whatnot, as far as release delays and things. Real quick to just kind of get since we're kind of doing all these like news things and updates and whatnot out of the way, the Blizzard Activision lawsuit stuff has become even more crazy than it already was.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, and you know, I think hopefully last episode it came across where I came across as like the way that I was trying to come across, where it's like, hey, I don't know enough about the situation, don't want to like, you know, jump on either side, not disbelieving victims and not disbelieving people that may be sorry that things have clearly spun out of control type of thing. So hopefully that kind of came across, because I feel like I lost like many a day thinking about this in my head.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
Michael's lost for words too.
When we were doing it, I didn't want to like really dive into the issues. Like, okay, nope, we'll go from there and just.
Yeah, yeah. But since then, more and more things have come out, and I feel like now the picture is being painted in a very like specific light, and it's like, yeah, you know what? I don't think it's possible to be like a neutral party here anymore with all the things that have been coming out.
Yeah,
been kind of, you know, awful things in terms of like videos that resurfaced from like panels from, you know, years ago of the actual, you know, one of the I think CEO is his title, right? The CEO who kind of released a statement saying like, oh man, like, you know, always been on the side of like, you know, women in the industry and things, yeah, and never accepted this like bro culture kind of like attitude and stuff. But then, you know, video evidence from these like types of panels and stuff where a lady in the audience asks if, you know, if Blizzard, I think it was Blizzard, would ever be, you know, willing to make it so that their female characters aren't so like overly sexualized,
yeah,
and don't look like they're coming out of like a lingerie magazine type of thing. And then, you know, the CEO, as well as like a whole bunch of other like, you know, people from the company, all guys, just kind of laughing her out of the room type,
yep,
of thing.
Basically.
So very like disappointing that like all these kind of things are like, you know, coming to light and stuff in terms of like, you know, clearly there's evidence of the things that are contrary to what you're saying now. So
and then there's a whole thing with like Cosby suites and, you know, Bill, yeah, Cosby and his things, but there are in pictures of that. Apparently there were HR, yeah, members in that. And if that's not an indication of anything, that's,
yeah, yeah, people heading up HR like in these photos that, you know, are questionable at best and real bad at like worst kind of thing. But yeah, I think just want to, you know, I feel like I'm hopefully always trying to like correct myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hence we've done correction segments in the past for these episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of just like, hey, things have changed over time, and get your act together, Blizzard, everybody over there, Activision, just fix things. And I think I now more than before agree with the sentiment of like, hey, these people had their time and kind of need to leave so that, you know, clean slate can kind of begin from somewhere else. Yep. But
completely,
very unfortunate. They've also had things like, you know, giant petitions signed by like a good sizable amount of the company. I think
unions
like,
and
unions and things. It's like I think the last count that I saw for one of these petitions was like 2,000 plus people,
mm-hmm,
and their estimates for the company, or like outlets' estimates for the company, has been like roughly 10,000 plus, which is like nearly a fifth of the workers and, yeah, stuff signing these things. So it's like, come on, guys. Got to start listening to the people who have made you what you are.
I think it was Blizzard that did a bunch of employees, like a good amount of employees, did a walkout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other day.
Mm-hmm. And did
protest of it.
Do you remember kind of much of what the news came out from there? Because I hadn't had time to read
that part yet. It was just that they did a walkout and they had a list of demands that they want for the workers and stuff, and
yeah and it sounds like those things haven't been resolved
not yet at all. And yeah, see the letters from Blizzard and stuff in response to that. It's like, oh yeah, you guys will get we'll give you paid time off for this,
yeah, for the time during the walkout.
Just talk to the people and give them what they want, let them unionize, do it. Mm-hmm. it's just a bad situation in general from Blizzard.
So as this evolves, hopefully once we see kind of like the conclusion of things and changes going on, we'll try to keep people updated. But yeah, just kind of, you know, short segments here, because it's a real messy thing that's going to keep on getting messier probably.
Ooh, definitely.
Yeah. But other than that, we did have one cool thing in the news go on. And sorry to kind of pivot so quickly, but the Annapurna Interactive Showcase happened this last week, Michael.
It did. I didn't know about it until like a week ago.
Oh my gosh.
A week before it was happening, because I knew of who Annapurna was, but I'm like, I'm not really sure I played any of their games, but I watched it because it's kind of funny. I saw they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like 90% of those games I'm super interested in.
Yeah, dude. They have a really like, I think like other people have said, it's a really kind of specific lineup of games that they do, very much like story focused type of things. Not a lot of like intense combat kind of stuff like a Devolver Digital, but very much so, you know, story focused and kind of more mellow or emotional in sense. But yeah, they do have a lot of cool things that they were able to show there. I'll kind of go through a quick rundown of that. So the Artful Escape, which I feel like used to have a much longer name.
I feel like it did too.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it used to be called, but the Artful Escape is a better pared down name now.
Yes.
That one had a cool new trailer for it. I think it also got a release date. Yeah, September 9th, also coming to Game Pass.
There you go.
Bing, bang, free boom, game. Michael. There we go. That one looks very cool. Neon White, actually looking cooler and cooler. I think this is the second time we've seen it now.
This one's a very interesting one to me. Like, yeah. I'm intrigued by it, but I'm like, I don't know how much I would play this.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, I guess you could almost say it reminds me of Doom a little bit.
Yeah.
In terms of like the sheer like speed and like run and gun gameplay kind of it and stuff. But the whole like system is very interesting in the way that they kind of do everything in the game. The system revolves around these like cards that you pick up, and the cards are usually like some type of weapon. So like, you know, maybe like a machine gun or like a pistol or a shotgun or things like that. And then you can use the weapon a few times, or you can discard the card. Mm-hmm. And when you discard it, it has a special effect. Like, say the shotgun will boost you like straight forward like a comet kind of thing, and you can destroy enemies that way. Or, you know, doing the, I'm not sure it's the right one, doing like, say, like a machine gun or something that will make you do like a ground pound to get rid of people below you type of stuff. And it's kind of a mixture of this, you know, partial like first person shooting gameplay and also kind of like puzzle aspects with the card mechanics in there. And then of course there's the like ever popular like speed run sense of it, where it's like, hey, how fast can you make it from the beginning to the end of this level?
A Mirror Edge kind of.
Yeah, and it's very cool looking. It's so like stylish and everything, and I'm just like, I want to know more about this. I just don't know if I'll be able to beat this game.
Exactly.
It seems like you got to really be thinking as you do this too.
I don't want to think when I play my video games. And I didn't realize it was made by Ben Esposito, who did Donut County.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that this is his game, because it's so different from Donut County. Completely different. Like, Donut County is just you move this hole around and suck up all these things for trash pandas, and that's about it. Raccoons pandas. For people who want to know what I'm talking about. But yeah, that one is like a very specific game, and it's just kind of very chill and just keep on sucking things down through this hole and making it bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And then this game is, you know, run and gun, speed run, parkour type thing.
Card game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very different vibes, but cool looking. I like the style of the cutscenes and things too. It reminds me of like Persona and stuff a little bit. Then we did have, let's see. I know some of these things were actual trailers, and some were what's called more like partnership kind of things being talked about. And I think this one, is that right? Was this by, hold on, I'm looking real quick here. Was a Memoir Blue, was that?
That was the...
was that like from the Chandana and Kanyake? Remember if that one was?
I don't know who it's by. I know it was a new announcement.
Okay. Yeah, actually, so I think we didn't see the game by Outer Loop Games. I think they had like a talking section.
Yes. That was the one with the people by...
Falcon Age.
Yeah.
With
the... The red hair, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I met Chandana before. He's a really cool guy. Yeah, I think I went to a panel that he was at and stuff.
Oh.
That's when I first like heard his name, and I was like, dude, his name is so awesome.
Super awesome.
Because when it's like, you know, it's different when you see a name like written down and you're trying to be like, how do you think that's pronounced, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like totally different when, you know, it's your name and you just throw it off the tongue super easily.
Yeah.
And then you hear it and like the way it's supposed to be said, and it's just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do that as well, but it's very cool. But yeah, so like they did Falcon Age, and looks like they're working on some type of possible skateboarding gameplay in their next game. But they also talked about how it's kind of going to tackle like immigrant culture growing up in the US and all these different things. And it sounds real cool.
Does.
Like Falcon Age was a pretty like cool game overall. And I wanted to play more of it in VR. It's very...
it takes
some time sometimes to do that.
I was like, I remember Falcon Age, but I never played it. But that would be the reason why.
Yeah. Then we had Memoir Blue, which looks like a really cool, sad kind of story.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is going to be an emotional one.
Mm-hmm. As I was watching the trailer and I was kind of getting the vibes of what they were throwing, or at least, you know, what I interpreted it to be, I was like, oh man, I'm getting like kind of misty-eyed here.
Yeah, this is not going to be a a happy-go-lucky game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looks cool, though.
It does.
Have you ever had those dreams of, like, being underwater and trying to, like, move, like, not by swimming, but, like, walking or running type of thing?
Not that I can say.
Okay, because I've had stuff like that before, or even, like, not underwater, but just, like...
There's dreams where I want to move or do something, but I physically can't, or for some reason I'm not able to do it.
Yeah, like, you're super slowed down compared to what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that type of feeling was, like, dredged up from seeing that scene in this trailer where the lady is on, like, a subway train and she's trying to move, but the thing's underwater.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool-looking thing. And then it got real sad-looking, and I'm like, oh, man.
Could be mentally ready for that.
Then we had a few different partnership things announced. So Jessica Mock from Everyday Shooter, that was the game that she developed. So Everyday Shooter and Sound Shapes that she kind of co-directed has a kind of studio that does mainly games kind of really tied in deeply with music and stuff. Hence, you know, Sound Shapes being pretty awesome. But she's trying to work on a new thing too, where it's kind of music really deeply intertwined with the gameplay and everything. And it sounds like not just like rhythm type of stuff, but like action, kind of like constant flowing nature of things like music. So that one sounded pretty cool. Then we got Storyteller.
This one looks really intriguing. Because I from the trailer, it looks like they're just making story, like fairy tale stories, like placing characters in it, and the story unfolds in the little box in the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a comic strip setting. But I'm interested to see if there's more to it than that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, looking at this, I'm like, okay, it seems like a interesting puzzle game type of thing. I can't really think of like how this game works in like long term, like if it's like you have a time limit to make this story type of thing, and you have to just, so the idea is that, you know, there's a title at the top of the screen that pops up, and that is, you know, the story that you have to create with these like picture elements below it, and you have like, you know, it seems like anywhere from like maybe 2 to like 6 or more blank squares that you then have to piece together to make a story that makes the title above fit.
Makes sense,
and stuff. And so it's an interesting kind of concept. It's almost kind of puzzly and everything there. But yeah, I'm curious to see like how that does as like all you're doing in the game, you know? Like, is it going to hook in other ways, or is it kind of just like this is what it is and then you're playing those things, you know what I'm saying?
I can imagine there would be, if it's just this, I can imagine it'd be, there's all, like a whole bunch of like different outcomes you can create story-wise.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like from what they talked about that there are, you know, ways to kind of do it in like multiple fashions. Like, it's not all just like there's one set solution, you have to find it. It's kind of like there should be multiple solutions and it just has to make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cute thing is that the panels will kind of tell you when a thing doesn't make sense and then be like, oh, I have to change some things around. And then they, you know, tell you that it's correct and you move on type of thing.
Right.
But looks interesting.
Looks good.
Then finally, Michael, Solar Ash release date. Finally here.
October 26th.
Yeah. Later than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. I'm just happy it's coming out from playing Hyper Light Drifter. Haven't beat it yet. I've actually started it multiple times because there was a time where I would get stuck and I'm like, it's not hooking me. But the most recent time I played, I'm like, okay, this is very good.
Yeah.
Playing that, I have high hopes that this is going to be very good too.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, when I was watching this newest trailer, kind of vibes of like the Pathless and stuff. I was like, oh yeah, this seems like something that after beating the Pathless and stuff last year?
Maybe it was early this year. Yeah.
But after kind of like, you know, playing through and platinuming that game and stuff, I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I could get hooked by Solar Ash if the movement is kind of similarly like fluid and stuff. It's just going to kind of depend on like what the overall like feel is like for the story. Because the Pathless surprisingly had a cool story to it. It wasn't just like, oh, go fight these monsters and you know,
skate
then
across
you're done.
The ground.
Yeah, it wasn't just that. It was like, oh, yeah, you're doing this stuff, but there's a cool story in the background and there's cool like pieces of lore to find in the world that explain everything better. And I was like, yeah. This is what makes me feel like I like this game a lot more than I thought I would. But yeah, Solar Ash coming October 26th.
Excited. Give me like 15, 20 points. I'd be happy.
Yeah, I know, right? At this point, all of our games were just like, you just give us like 15, 20 points. It's all good. Then Ivy Road, which is a new studio that, you know, basically was announced at this showcase, and they're partnering with Annapurna. The two, I guess it looks like co-creators kind of thing, One of them is the creator of the Stanley Parable, and
fantastic.
Yeah, never played it, but I've always heard great things. And it says also the Beginner's Guide.
Yep, it was almost a sequel to Stanley Parable.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Not like in story wise, but it's almost in that same like Half-Life.
Oh, okay.
Looking universe kind of thing.
Gotcha. Same kind of like look and feel of Stanley Parable. Okay, gotcha. So that's Davey Redden. And then he's partnered with the co-creator of Gone Home and Tacoma, who is Carla Zimonja. And also music composer Daniel Rosenfeld, a.k.a. C418. He's the guy who does Minecraft music. And that's real exciting. When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's it.
I feel like this is the way to announce new studios or new games, because normally sometimes I don't want to say like they're boring and stuff, but sometimes it goes on a little long because you're like explaining, but these things, like they asked a couple questions that were super funny, super funny answers. The when they introduced the Minecraft composer, he was like hiding in the corner. I was like, should we feed him? Oh, no, he'll be fine. Like, this is funny, this is enjoyable.
Yeah, this is a good way to do it. It was like quirky but in an actual like lovable kind of way.
Yeah.
Whereas, if it's just kind of like, hey, you know, like we're a new studio, this is our, you know, this is the things that we stand for. This is our backstory. It's kind of like, okay, long in the tooth a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to hold attention, especially for people who are playing so many games all the time.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, not a self burn, but it's, you know, it's kind of the truth. So
yeah.
It makes sense to kind of do this fast paced, witty banter kind of thing. And then, you know, even though there's nothing to show right now, cause it's still really early. They're just like, oh yeah, just
entice
to let you know.
People.
Yeah. So you get to know the people a little bit, get to know maybe if you feel like you'd be interested in what they're coming up with without even having like a trailer or anything like that to go off of. So cool way to present it.
It's a cool name too, Ivy Road.
Yeah, that is a cool road. That's a cool road.
It is a cool road.
It's a cool road, man, Ivy. then we had Skin Deep, which is, man, you want to explain Skin Deep to the people, Michael? This is such an interesting game.
It's a I'll read this so I don't butcher it, basically. It's a off of this is a immersive Sims that's just a little bit weirder. The sci-fi game is about sneaking, subverting, and sabotaging, all while not wearing shoes, according to the developer. So basically it's how would you describe like what kind of game it's like? It's like
I might almost describe it kind of as like,
cause it's not
jazz punky.
Okay.
In terms of like, it's like a comedic kind of game where you're doing objectives and whatnot.
Yeah.
Right? To continue on the path of this game and whatnot. Not seemingly like a huge crazy story, but the idea apparently from the trailer is that you are on a spaceship and pirates have, you know, boarded the ship to try and steal the cats on this ship, which is like, okay, there we go. Yeah, taking the cats. But in order to, you know, protect the cats, because I think you're part of this insurance agency that is cat protectors.
Yep.
You are then trying to like, you know, thwart these like pirates by, you know, sending them out of airlocks and all these weird things. You know, your gun doesn't have any bullets, so you throw it at a button that opens the airlock and shoots the pirate out of it.
Yep.
So,
and
interesting.
Your smell can alert.
Oh gosh, yeah, that stuff.
The bad guys.
Yeah, it's like you. What is it? If you try out some different things in this game, and it's like, I think the idea that they showed was that you accidentally ejected yourself into space with the rest of the trash, and then you're covered in, you know, space trash stink. And when you get back on the ship, the pirates can smell you. And so then it's like, oh shoot, I gotta go get rid of this stink. And you go and wash yourself
in the toilet.
And yeah, in like an Asian style toilet where it's like, you know, the ones that you squat by.
Yeah.
And yeah, real interesting type of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Did this one grab you at all? This one, like, this doesn't feel like it's for me because it's a little too much like going on here.
This the theme and stuff is cool, but I'm still confused on like what's the gameplay.
Yeah.
Like I understand it's like a simulation almost, like a walking sim, but I'm like, what am I collecting things? Am I like attacking people? I'm interested but not sold.
Yeah, yeah. Like it feels like a puzzle game with like comedy inside.
Yes.
You know, so I'm like, usually not my thing, but you know, it made me laugh
at
times. So
yeah.
that's a good thing for them. Then we had some platform updates that they threw in there. The Pathless is coming to Steam on November 16th. Mm-hmm. What Remains of Edith Finch coming to iOS.
Did you ever play that one?
What Remains of Edith Finch?
Yeah.
No, I have it because I think it came out on PS Plus a while ago.
Yeah, I think so. I always get it confused with what was the other one where like the world, like people are disappeared.
Oh yeah,
and there's like spirits that follow around in the town.
Everybody's gone to the rapture.
That's it. That's it. I always get those two confused for some reason.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think that's an understandable confusion thing. But actually, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Pretty cool game. Mm-hmm. Like that one, story wise, I was very interested by the time I reached the end. And then I think I wanted to play What Remains of Edith Finch. But I have heard there are slight tie-ins to other games that I think would be cool to play first. So I got to try and do that before I do this one. And it's just a whole thing. Huge backlog. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Then apparently also I Am Dead is arriving on PS5, PS4, and Xbox on August 9th. Telling Lies and Gorogoa are coming to Xbox Game Pass soon. Which I've heard Telling Lies is pretty cool.
Yep.
Gorogoa, I think, is a puzzle type of game. So
I think so.
I think it also sounds like it did pretty well. But it, you know, puzzle games, so many
hit and miss,
hit and miss for us for sure. Then some of the more exciting stuff here, Stray. We got to see Stray again, Michael.
This was the one that I wanted to see. It's because when they first showed the trailer like a while ago, what was it at, like Sony's?
Yeah, I think it was part of the PS5
reveal showcase. Event or something. Yeah, you're a cat, and the cat's walking around, and there's robots, and then. It ended, and we go, what's the gameplay?
Yeah.
So basically, you're just a cat wandering around the city trying to get back to, I think they said...
you're trying to get back to your family.
Yeah.
Because you sounds like, fell out of your apartment or house or whatever.
Super crazy.
Yeah, and your cat starts off the game injured. So it was like, I was watching this thing like limp around. I was like, oh, man.
This is going to be sad.
This is going to be sad. But then it healed, apparently.
Yeah.
And so it was fine.
But there's it showed off with the cat platforming and stuff, which I like platforming games, and the story looks good with the robots and this weird futuristic cyberpunk city and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned in like there's kind of like combat in it too.
Yeah, like
which is super interesting.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, huh, this game is doing a lot of different things, but it's all kind of cool in a way. Like, you know, it's got the story element, it's got the, you know, exploring around this city kind of element and talking to weird robot things. And then, when you get to the combat part, I'm like, oh shoot, you got to run away from these nasty creatures down there that are trying to bite you and stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, then he gets some kind of like UV, like lights
Ray
that is
thing,
like, it's disintegrating these things. And I was like, whoa, this changed real, real fast.
But the best part of the game, you're playing as a cat. What more could you want in a video?
That's all you need in Michael's mind is you got to just play as a cat. You know, that's why Skyrim is such a good game. You know, you can play as a cat.
Oh, that's right. You can. I was like, what are you talking about?
But yeah, interesting announcement in there that I think some people picked up on, but probably others had forgotten that this wasn't the case. So it was originally just a PS5 game.
Yep.
Now it's coming to PS4 as well.
Cool.
But delayed from its supposed 2021 release window to early 2022.
Yeah. So I don't think I expected this one to come out this year.
I think at this point,
get much on it.
Yeah, at this point, since we hadn't heard too much, it's kind of like, it's assumed it's coming out next year, just kind of like the Ghostwire Tokyo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now we have confirmation at least there. I think the last, I want to say tie-in. What's the word I was thinking of? Last
announcement?
Partnership. There we go. A partnership announcement was No Code Entertainment Productions. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to be working with Annapurna as well. They are located in Glasgow. And yeah, they're working on a really cool next game. Their previous game was Observation, I believe, which is a pretty spooky game in space where it seems like an AI kind of goes rogue and stuff. And I started it and I'm like, oh, this is spooky vibes.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I had to stop a little bit. But it seems to be pretty promising. And they said that before they never meant to make scary games.
That's the funny thing. It's like, oh, we never meant to make scary games, but now we want to make scary games.
Yeah. So it's basically now it's like, okay, well, if now they are intending to make a scary thriller kind of thing, then we'll see, you know, what happens there and kind of see. We're excited, basically.
Yeah.
Excited to be scared.
I'm not.
Michael's excited to watch me maybe be scared from this. And then the last one, which I thought was really well done, kind of like intro for it and stuff, was Alex, how would you say this? Beecham?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. He is the creative director at Mobius, and they made Outer Wilds. That one is getting an expansion. Mm-hmm. They said that they call it the first and only expansion for Outer Wilds. And that one should be coming out on September 28th. So very, very cool.
Did you ever play Outer Wilds? Because I never have. But I hear it's super good.
Yeah, I've heard such great things. It's also like, it's a game about like time loops and like puzzle elements.
Yeah.
This was like the first time loop game that was like really hitting and stuff. And then a bunch of these things have been coming out lately. So I want to play this. I think I got it on PS4 on sale or something. So I want to try it out. But man, me and puzzles, Michael, I'm so dumb.
I thought I was about to say, because I heard Blessing talk about it, because he said, because Andy's played it and Andy's liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But Blessing was like, yeah, man, I've tried this game so many times and I feel stupid playing it. Like, I'm not smart enough to understand what's going on because so much stuff is happening. And I'm like,
yeah.
What am I doing? Like, that would be me.
Uh-huh. This seems like a game that I think would be really fun to play. And I'm not just saying this because this is how it's going to end up being for us, but like, this seems like it would be fun to play once it's been out for a while.
Yes.
Because then if you get stuck, you're just like, let me just look up what I'm supposed to do here.
Yep.
And they're just like, oh, hey, did you know that this part in the story is related to this part here? And then you have little mind explosions going on. You take some more psychic damage.
Yep.
It's great that way. If you got to be stuck and be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And you look on the internet, they're like, yeah, we don't know what we're supposed to do. Then you're just like, all right, well, okay. I'm just going to stop playing for now, I guess. So I think sometimes for puzzle games, this is the way to do it, is to enjoy it later.
Yep.
If you're not a puzzle game aficionado.
Yes.
But very, very cool overall. Mm-hmm. I think out of the showcases, mostly this summer, I think this is one of the better ones.
Yeah, this one was very, very good. There wasn't like a dull moment for me watching
it. Yeah, and even, you know, it's surprisingly, because it wasn't just all like game. It was like, there are parts of talking and things there. Mm-hmm. Even with all that in there, it wasn't slowed down or anything.
Yep.
Maybe for, you know, Joe Schmo Gamer over here, who's like, just show me some what Call of Duty. Yeah. Like, maybe they're people. Bored, but like people that are, you know, coming to it knowing what their Annapurna is. Then it's like, okay, yeah, no, this is all cool stuff. I want to know more about these things.
I'm excited to see what they do in the future. Because they've only been active for 5 years.
Yeah,
I think this is their first showcase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and that's the exciting thing, is they've been doing really well. Like, mm-hmm. They have a lot of cool games under their belt, just, you know, as developers, but also as publishers. So it'll be exciting to kind of see what else they do next.
I agree.
These ones are like, Annapurna is like slowly become kind of the Devolver Digital
of like story. Yep.
Yeah, there we go. We're on the same page over here, Michael. But yeah, that is pretty much all the crazy news things that happened this week. Let's talk what's that?
We could. I do have like a small topic if you're okay with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, let's do it.
Because I was going through my memory and like, okay, what was I going to ask? And then when we mentioned memoirs,
it has
to do with sad games.
Ah, okay.
So a while back ago, we talked about, I can't remember what we were talking about, basically, but we got on the topic of like crying in video games.
Oh, okay.
And if they hit me, or if they hit you and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was going through my mind, and I think out of all like media and stuff, like music, movies, TV shows, whatever,
yeah,
video games, I think video games are the things that get me the most.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird, because I was remembering all the times I've cried in video games. Mm-hmm. And there was Walking Dead.
Ah, yeah.
There was Metal Gear Solid 3. Mm-hmm. There was basically all the Yakuza games. what was the Night in the Woods got me.
Oh.
A bunch of other games and stuff. So I want to know, has there been a bunch of games that like hit you, or are you normally like, this is sad, but this isn't like a movie or like,
oh, no.
Music or whatever.
No, no. Michael. There's so many games that get me like this. Lately, as I age, I find I get more and more emotional.
I'm the same way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, man, okay, I'm trying to think of more recent things that,
we'll,
that
we'll start
me.
Off with what was yeah. what's the game that hits you the most that you feel like?
Hit me the most. Okay, let me think here real quick. I think in my memory, the one that hit me the most... Okay, there's two that I would say are pretty equal. Yeah, I'd say they're pretty equal.
Mm-hmm.
So one was maybe like a 4 or 5 years ago or something, I think. I'll have to check the trophies later to see if that's where it was. But it was Brother, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, the from the No Way Out creator.
Yeah,
his
yeah.
His first game, yeah.
So that game, man, yeah, like sad. didn't expect it to happen the way it did. The game itself is like a, you know, puzzle-ish kind of game, basically, with like some story inside there. But you play as like an older brother and a younger brother. It's on the same controller, and you basically, I think, have like the it's like one trigger control, like one trigger and one thumbstick on, you know, half of the controller controls one sibling, and then the other half is the other sibling.
Right.
And, you know, pretty basic game mechanics, like, you know, the older brother is like taller and they can therefore, you know, give things like boosts and stuff, or can like move, I don't know, heavier objects and things. The younger brother can't swim, so he has to kind of grab onto the older brother whenever you're going through water areas and stuff. And yeah, and it's just like, oh,
this is why I didn't play the game, because I don't think I liked.
Yeah. So, man, if you can get past the gameplay part of it, which is sometimes like breaking your mind a little bit, then it's a great game. But yeah, basically you know, going through this whole like thing and whatnot. And when we got to the end, there was a big like twist, like right before the end, kind of. And, you know, things happened, things got real sad and real dark. And then there was a moment like in the gameplay that like got me. And that was where I was like, cause I was already like, man, like, you know, story-wise, what I'm doing right now with this character, it's taken way too long, and there's no way things are going to end out, like, well.
Yeah.
Right? So I did what I was supposed to do with that character, you know, came back to the other character to check on them, and, you know, it was just like, no, it was bad, right? But then, while that character is, like, you know, in the pit of, like, their despair, they have to then, like, conquer this, like, fear that they couldn't conquer before, because they only used the you know, sibling's help, basically. And when that happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're gonna make me do this? This is crazy.
Oh, God damn.
Then I was just like crying as I'm going through this area. And then I think along with that, it wasn't just that part, but they made like the part of the story in there where I was expecting like a cutscene to kind of do this thing for me. And they made me actually do this difficult task. And I was like, wow. This is another level of like they didn't make me do the entire thing, but they made me start it. And I was like, oh, this is sad, man.
Yeah.
So that one got me. But I think the one that got me just like bawling, like, like in the first like half hour of this game, do you ever play Wandersong?
Oh, is that the purple dude? And he has the little Peter Pan hat kind
of? So he's got like a, he's a bard basically is what he is. And the game is all about like, your character is a bard, and singing is his, you know, great ability. He wants to be a hero, but he can't because he can't lift this hero sword. It's too heavy. but he's got this great singing voice because he's a bard, and he like sings his way out of these like bad situations, basically. But in the beginning of this game, and since it's early, I'll just spoil it, because I was just like, man, this hit me like just quickly, like there, and it might have just been like the mind frame I was. Not like, say, like in because of the game, but I was like just around that area. But the character, you know, there's these ghosts that are terrorizing this town and stuff. And the mayor or like someone in the town comes to you and is like, it's like, hey, man, like, these ghosts are all over the place. And then you're like, oh, I'll help. And they're like, no, you can't do anything. You're just a bard, right? And so then you go in there and you start using your singing, right, to like make these ghosts go away. And as the ghosts are kind of like singing this song at you, if you sing the exact thing back, then it kind of like shrinks them a little bit. And once you've like shrunk them all the way, they disappear and whatnot and go away.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually all those ghosts appear, I think, in like one place. And you start to find out that these ghosts are trying to like talk to you and to these townspeople. And I think you something happens to your character that makes you suddenly be able to understand these ghosts. And the ghosts are there because they're trying to warn the townspeople of the end of the world. And you know, you've already found out about the end of the world, so you know that this is true. But the ghosts were all, you know, as you kind of go throughout this town and, you know, help out these people, they're all ghosts of people that used to live in the town, like, you know, husbands that like passed on from before, like this elderly lady, and then like maybe like a like son that passed on too early compared to like the rest of the family and stuff. And those characters are appearing in these houses specifically because they're trying to warn their, you know, alive family members that the end is coming and they need to get out of there. And I just started to like bawl. And I was just like, oh my gosh, they just want to help so much. And I think my wife came in when I was playing, and she's like, what's the matter? And I started to explain to her, but I'm just like crying, and I'm just like, it's so beautiful. and it was, yeah, it was really touching. There's some real touching things in video games.
I'm glad that they're games that I never played, because ones that I think hit me the most was, without going into them because the stories are important, yeah. Final Fantasy IX.
Oh, okay.
My favorite Final Fantasy game. That game, the ending is just, if you understand what's going on, it hits you like a truck. And it's a happy ending, but it's also a sad, because the game deals with mostly the characters trying to deal with their own mortality, basically. That's like the main gist of it, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's rough. Final Fantasy 15.
Oh.
Didn't expect that ending to be as emotionally sad as it was and draining.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 3, ending again, obviously sad. But there's one game that I didn't play personally, but I've watched played multiple times.
Oh,
and each time I've watched it be played, I bawl my eyes out at each part. Did you ever play Valiant Hearts?
No, I wanted to play it. I just have never got around
okay,
to
so
it.
Okay, so I won't spoil it for you.
Yeah.
But holy crap. The game itself is about, I think it's World War One. Yeah, the Great War, World War One.
Yeah, yeah.
And you play as three different characters throughout the game, but I can't even put into words how, like, because it's almost so real. Because at the end, the narrator like narrates like events that actually happened and like loss and stuff. But your main character goes through and what happens is just so. I'm like tearing up thinking about it now, because it's so hard to like watch happen, because there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the way it plays out. You just have to sit there and watch it as he's talking and he's playing out what's happening. Like, oh my God, this is rough.
Yeah.
Like I enjoy this, but I don't enjoy this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, you want to see it through to the end, but you're just like, man, this is not usually how I want to feel when I'm playing games.
Exactly. Which I think is what makes video games so special, more so than like movies and like, at least in my opinion, like TV shows and stuff. Like, they're interactive, so you can like almost like put yourself in this experience, and you're not just watching it.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier to empathize with things going on, because it's almost like you're controlling some of the events, and it's just like, it's almost, you know, in a weird way, like it's happening to you somewhat. And so it's just like, oh man, I feel so bad for things going on right now. But
I agree.
Yeah, so there's some real good games out there. It's no longer just like, you know, Mortal Kombat and Doom Guy and things like that, right?
Mortal Kombat.
I try to think of like game or like Grand Theft Auto. It's, you know, things that I think maybe like people think of when they hear video games, and they're just like, no, I'm not gonna let my kid play video games.
Yeah.
But there's some games out there that it's like, man, these are great stories that are, you know, rivaling some like really good like movies and things in there too. So it's definitely worth a look to kind of see what's out there in terms of like some of these more touching stories and things.
And if you just want like a good cry sometimes, just go on YouTube and like watch clips of sad video game moments. That's what I did.
Oh my gosh. That sounds brutal. Jeez.
Games I played, obviously.
Okay.
Things like I can remember those moments like, man, this is so good, but so sad.
Oh man. Okay. Well, enough of this sad stuff, Michael. Let's talk about some games that we played this past week. What have you been up to lately?
I've played two. Two basically. A bunch of Guilty Gear Strive.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I got.
What rank are you at now?
I'm still on floor six.
Okay.
Floor five and six, I jump up. But I've been trying new characters. I've been trying Leo.
Okay.
He's the lion dude with the two cross swords.
Yeah, like Leo Whitefang or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that. I should know his name, but I don't. And then Amelia.
Oh yeah.
The girl in the winter attire and has that long spiky hair.
Yeah. Okay.
So hair. You'd recognize her.
I think so. Yeah.
Haven't done good with them.
Oh,
but no. I like them. Obviously, because I'm not great at the game.
You gotta learn the characters first.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh no, I do training mode before I try like these matches and stuff. But
oh, yeah.
I'm still not great at the inputs, and my thumb always kills me. So. I gotta stop, but
I gotta take some breaks sometimes.
I do. It's. I went back to my main Eno, and I realized that because fighting game people do like tier lists and stuff, and they're just opinion based things like which character's the best, who's good at this and that. Eno is always placed near the bottom.
Oh dang!
Because she doesn't have good matchups and stuff. I'm like, oh, maybe that's why I'm not doing so good with her. Not my skill. It's just the character itself's not great.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with her because I like her a lot.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been trucking through Shenmue.
Oh, man.
And
you told me about the riveting gameplay.
Yeah, there's like a whole like third of the game where you're just working at a harbor, like working forklifts and like delivering boxes to other warehouses and stuff. There's like story elements that go in between and stuff, but you basically have to raise money to find Lon D, the guy who killed your father, and he's in Hong Kong, and you don't have the money for Hong Kong, so you got to find some way to get it.
Yeah, so you go move crates at a dock with a forklift.
Exactly.
This game becomes Shenmue Forklift Simulator.
You only get 300 yen per box, so wow. You're not making a lot of money.
Jeez, that's like $3 for people that are unaware.
But I have found something I don't like about the game.
Oh, okay.
Overall, I still love it. It's great, my kind of game. But there'll be times where it'll tell you, like a character will say something. It's like, oh, you need to go over here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then you'll open up your journal, which basically tells you what to do. It says, oh, I need to find this store. And that's it.
You just
have to find the store. There's like maps located in certain parts of the city, but you're basically on your own. You just have to find it. So I've had to look on maps numerous times online.
Yeah.
To look for these places. And there's other points where you'll meet a character and they'll teach you a fighting move.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, they'll be like, okay, so you have to step back, turn, and you'll do a sweeping kick. Do it. And I'm like, well, what buttons do I have to press? Like, what do I have to do? He's like, no, you just have to do it. They don't tell you anything. So you're just sitting there pressing buttons. And if you do it wrong, the character will be like, oh, what are you, stupid? You got to do it like this. I'm like, I don't know what to do. You're not telling me.
Yeah, I have heard that critique before.
It's
and
so bad.
That like blew my mind. And I'm like, you mean they just tell you to do a move, but don't tell you how to do it?
Exactly. They don't tell you a button. They don't tell you anything.
Yeah.
So I had to look that up, and that took like an hour or two to find out what to do.
Oh, geez. Now, is it supposed to make sense? Like, because, I mean, obviously design choices, like, sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're okay. But, like, is it supposed to make sense in its own weird way where it's like, you know, like Tekken, where one button is your left fist, the other button's your right fist, one button left leg, one button right leg? Is it supposed to be like that kind of thing? That it should make sense if you had the time to really, like, think this stuff out? Or is it just like, you know, it's too obtuse. Like it's.
I would say it's more obtuse because it's okay. You literally just have to
try things out.
You press you know what direction because it tells you to move forward, and then you press the move forward button.
Okay.
And then it's like you have to kick, so you can press the you got to use the kick button or the X button or whatever. But then you have to like move forward and press like two buttons at the same time.
All right.
And you're like, I didn't know I had to press the punch button too. You're not telling me.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a bunch of trial and error.
Man, what a bunch of jokesters. These Shenmue people.
Exactly. And the other thing, the boss fights, you don't know how much health the boss has, and that's usually not an issue for me.
Really? Okay.
Like, I'm normally fine with that because that was all Hollow Knight. You don't know how much health the Hollow Knight bosses have.
True.
But this one's even worse because you're kicking and stuff. You have a health meter and it goes down, but it just feels like you're not doing anything to them. Like, you knock them down and you're punching them. They're getting back. I'm like, okay, how much longer do I have to do that? There was, like, one boss fight. There's a Schmeagol Golem character in it.
Oh, jeez.
Literally, like, I think it's referencing that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That I fought. That took, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, how low is his health? I have no idea what I'm doing wrong.
Man.
But other than that, it's still fun. I like it.
I like to imagine that, like, over time, you're going to keep on playing through it and be like, you know, here's just another thing I don't like about this game. And then end each time with, like, but overall, it's good stuff. That's I like it.
Good thing. I think I only have, like, a couple hours left of the game, so.
Okay.
At least for the first one.
Now, you'll have to update us next time around to see if that Michael game clock was correct. If it was hours or, like, 12.
Yeast wasn't correct, so this one might not be either.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to estimate sometimes, like. I mean, usually when I do it, I'm estimating based off like trophies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's like three more story related trophies, maybe another like 10 hours or something. But then it's like 15, 20 hours later, I'm like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of side stuff to do. It wasn't made for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of games that I played, I have, let's see, kind of jumped around like usual, right? Not unheard of for me doing these things. I have played some more Cozy Grove a little bit. I think now I have played 69 days.
Beautiful.
Which is nice. You know, so going through there, like, I'm slowly kind of trying to make it to three seasons as well as the 90-day mark. But I think I'm almost done. As in, like, I logged, like, what was it? I think not yesterday, the 30th, which I guess must have been Friday. Mm-hmm. I think I went on real quick. Oh, no, it wasn't that day. It was 3 days before that. It was the 27th. So I went on real quick because I think it was right before like work in the morning or something. I had a little bit of time before my shift. And so I went on there, turned on Cozy Grove, popped in for that, day 68, and then just closed the game down.
Dang.
And then I was like, all right, I'm good. So then I went over to play Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which was a good choice to go into. I hadn't played an Uncharted game in forever. Pretty cool. The style of it is, it feels a little bit fresher, and it's maybe just because I'm so used to, in the past, playing as Nathan Drake, and him and his fighting style being very like specific, like very kind of just like brawler type thing,
almost heavy in a sense.
Yeah, almost kind of heavy, right? It's like brawler bar fight type style. But for Chloe, who you're playing as in this game, she is more like agile and nimble. Beautiful. And then you have some cool like moments where you're playing, beside Nadine Ross from the Uncharted 4 game.
Mm-hmm.
And as you two are kind of, fighting these these people, right? These bad guys, you're fighting them. They'll kind of like tag team, kind of like how like Nate and Sully might do, but it feels like it's much more fluid. And it's because both of these women are like way better at like combat in general.
Yeah.
Which I think is a cool kind of aspect. They did have, some of the similar gameplay mechanics from Uncharted 4, like the grapple hook and things like that. But overall, I like the scenes so far, the chase scenes and whatnot, going through the top of these buildings after you get caught trying to steal from this bad dude. And then kind of just overall, like, the lore so far. I feel like we don't play / get a lot of games that kind of go over, like, Indian culture lore.
No.
And so, and like, Indian is in, like, European, right? Not like, India. Native American.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really, really cool kind of, like, lore going on inside there. And it's something that I haven't played in kind of a long time, like an Uncharted game in general. So it feels a little old, but at the same time, like the grapple hook mechanic and stuff still feels nice. So that part of it has been fun. And I think I've played maybe a few chapters in the very beginning. I'm on like chapter 4 or something right now.
I always liked Chloe as a character too, from number 2.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's a cool like character in general, and she's still kind of got that like flair, like like very sarcastic kind of almost cocky in a way, kind of flair that like Nathan Drake has. But it kind of feels, appropriate and everything for her character. And then like, we already know that Nadine Ross is a pretty like crazy intense character, intense on her own. And she's very like, all business kind of thing and stuff. And Chloe's kind of over there joking around. She's like, and Nadine's like, are you always this talkative on missions? And she's like, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just like, oh man, this is a fun little kind of like thing that they're setting up in the beginning here. But pretty cool stuff overall that from what I've seen. I have also played some more Skyrim. I'm still doing that.
You're never going to not stop playing Skyrim. They're going to put it on every new console, and you're just going to be like, yeah, I'm going to play more Skyrim.
It's like once a new Elder Scrolls game comes out, Michael, and makes this one antiquated, then I'll be all about it. But
until do you think that so? Because you've gone back to Morrowind.
I know. That's true as well. But like going back to Morrowind after having had Oblivion and Skyrim, I'm very much so like, wow, this is an old game.
I don't need this.
Yeah, so like when I get to, Elder Scrolls 6, like, I don't know what they're going to call it.
15 years?
Valenwood or Dagger. No, Daggerfall was number 2, actually, so it's got to be something else. But basically, yeah, whenever we get that in like the next 10 years, then maybe I'll be like, all right, Skyrim's an old game, just got to move on to the next thing.
There you go.
But it's a long time until that happens. Aside from those ones, though, I did go back and give Biomutant some more time. I'm trying to get a little bit more time inside there. And once again, with the corrections, I will say I have a new weapon. It's like a big like fist gauntlet type thing. It's it's almost heavier feeling a little bit, but it's got this cool special move where it like shoots fire out of it a little bit and kind of burns the enemies in front of me. Gotta say, different weapon kind of changes the game a little bit.
It's grown on you now.
Yeah, it's grown on me a little bit more now. So yeah, in terms of like, wanting to play it some more, I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is now a little bit more fun, and I would be interested in seeing how this turns out.
It's encouraging for me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, like, obviously the game is not top quality type of thing. I think people have gathered probably that from like reviews online, as well as just kind of like where it sits on like you know, Metacritic and OpenCritic and stuff. I think OpenCritic right now it's like a 67 still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, actually playing the game, once you find a style of combat that you kind of like and stuff, I think that opens the game up a little bit more and makes it more enjoyable, makes it a little bit more fluid. So I think now I'm kind of starting to see a little bit more of that. Because I thought, like, you know, kind of like how I thought, I think, going into... There was another game that I wanted dual weapons for and then realized that wasn't going to be it. Oh, it was Neo.
Oh, okay.
Neo 1. So when, you know, when I came into this game, Biomutant, I wanted dual weapons. And then you could have, I think, pre-ordered the game and it unlocked the mercenary class, which had dual weapon feats, like, already unlocked and whatnot. But I didn't do that. And... I chose the Saboteur class, which has kind of a dual wielding feat available. So playing with them and then kind of have these like two like weak Psy-like weapons. It's kind of like those three-pronged pokey swords, basically.
Oh,
I'm trying
yeah,
to think
yeah.
of how to describe it well.
The things
that Raphael uses yes. from the Teenage Mutant Ninja
yeah.
Turtles.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, like you have these two weapons to start off with. The crafting system is interesting in this game. I still don't have quite a good handle on it, and I hopefully will get a better handle on it later. But it's like there's certain components you need, and then you can find things in the environment to then upgrade weapons with. So that part seems interesting. But one thing I will say so far from that is that like the weapons, I get that the game is kind of supposed to be like, you know, post-apocalyptic. You're all weird animal mutated things. And... you know, it's kind of you live in a trash world, basically.
Yeah.
but like the weapons, in my mind, I'm like, do they have to look like trash though? Like, you know, like, and I'm not saying, cool. yeah, I'm not saying like they look bad, but I'm saying like they look like you put like part of a screwdriver on like a wrench or something. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. that kind of thing, I'm just like, man, like I want to make some cool looking things. Like Fallout 4 made weapons that looked cool.
Yeah.
These weapons, nah. yeah, it's not really. Like, the gauntlet thing looks pretty cool, but when I'm trying to create weapons, they're not looking that cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to put, like, an egg beater on this, like, wrench outlet thing, and I'm just like, ah, it sucks.
It's funny when you think about that, like, appearance is all, like, a huge thing
mm-hmm.
in these things. Like, even, like, in Borderlands
oh,
series,
yeah.
like, even if the gun's, like, super good,
yeah.
if I don't like the look of it,
oh, yeah.
I won't use it.
yeah, exactly. And that's why it is very important in these
it
things.
Is, yeah.
And it's, like, when people are making games that, you know, revolve around post-apocalyptic kind of stuff, it's a pretty big thing to kind of think about because it's, like, I get aesthetically that some of these things will look like trash, but you don't have to make it look like trash, you know?
Exactly.
like,
well,
it doesn't
we'll be
have
fine
to look like
it.
That. yeah, if you want to be, you know, if you, this part is the only thing that's kind of, like, not in keeping with the rest of the game, that's fine by me, you know?
Yeah.
I want my weapons to look cool if I'm going to be out there in a trash world.
oh, that's funny.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it's been fun so far, kind of gameplay, get a little bit better. And then in terms of the, I just conquered, like, this base/outpost kind of thing from this enemy tribe and whatnot.
Ooh.
And that was a cool mission. I think that was one of the things that brought it around for me also. It's, like, bringing me through this kind of, like, you know, again, trash-looking outpost and stuff. Going through there and, like, kind of fighting, like, wave after wave of enemies and things. And then kind of a big bad dude pops out, and I got to make him, I don't know, hit this, like, pole to knock himself out, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, and I enjoyed that part of it. There are still some weird, you know, just dialogue things and stuff like that in there, but that's kind of just the quirkiness of the game, basically.
Right.
And so as long as now the combat is getting more fun and the missions are kind of interesting, then I think it's something that could make me play some more of it.
Game of the Year material?
Oh, man. Let's not even go there. We all know that it can't make that list. But, I mean, it is you know, making things more enjoyable, which I
right.
think is important there. So, still... on the, like, you know, maybe try it out type of scale
that we're making.
and then I think pretty much that's kind of most of what I've done. The last one that I'll mention on here, because I, you know, actually, no, sorry, I'll mention a few more. Played a little bit of Fall Guys because Ratchet and Clank have some costumes on there.
Yeah.
I wanted to try and unlock. It's going to be difficult, so I don't think I'm going to keep on
doing it.
But I did play some of two newer games. One of them is called Witchcrafty, which, weirdly enough, is a Vita exclusive title at the moment.
So weird.
so strange. Had no, like, idea this was even coming out until trophies popped for it, and, it, you know, a Vita trophy list. And I was like, what is this thing? And I looked it up, and I was like, this actually looks kind of cool. It's like some kind of platforming somewhat like 2D combat type of game. Mm-hmm. And gotta say, like, you know, it's not published by a, like, you know, Rataleika Games or Sometimes You or things like that, like East Asia Soft. It's not published by these ones that are known for their, like, you know, easy games for easy trophies kind of thing.
Yes.
It was, I think, developed and self-published by Pigeon Dev, I think is the name. And the game itself is interesting. Like, it's one of those situations where it looks cooler in the trailer than it seems like it plays.
That sucks.
Which is kind of unfortunate.
Because the trailer did look really cool.
Yeah, and I think it may just be a weird design thing that's going on, because in, I'd say, like, you know, the first, like, 10 minutes of the game, I'm going through weird kind of, like, dialogue between my character and other characters there. You're some kind of, like, you know, witch that woke up and you kind of have some amnesia, don't know what's going on around you. There's, like, goblins attacking your village and stuff. You know, standard fantasy beginning story things. But, like, you go out there and you start, you know, fighting some creatures and whatnot. I get to an area where there is a... Yeah, it's like, you know, I start off on a ledge on the left side. There's a ledge on the right side. And then in the middle, there is, like, you know, a pit of water, which, you know, one of these classic games where you can't swim. You die when you go in the water, of course. It's the
worst cliche in video games.
I know, it's awful. So there's that. But there's a kind of like a floating platform in the middle. And as soon as you jump on it, it crumbles, or starts to crumble in like a second or so. And then you have to, you know, jump on it and then quickly jump to the next side of the screen. I swear to you, man, I've gone from this left side of the screen to jump onto that platform and have not been able to make it, like, 4 out of 5 times.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, what is happening here? Because I feel like I am clearly jumping at the edge, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is some, like, old school, like, I've never played these games, but watching you play it, it's like, this is like some old school, like, Jack and Daxter stuff, where it's like, rough. You have to get precise, perfect
timing, yeah.
Perfect, like, pixel perfect jumps or something, because I'm not making it otherwise.
Yeah.
And I just keep falling in this water, and it's not like the thing where, no, it is. I think if you fall in the water, it resets you to the left side of the screen, and then you only have, like, 2 chances. It's like one chance. You jump and you miss it, you fall in the water, now you have 1 heart left, and you do it again. You then go back to your latest checkpoint, which was, I think, a couple screens past. Okay. But each time you die, you lose, like, whatever coins and stuff since your last checkpoint.
Mm.
And the coins that were in the levels that you went through already, and the creatures, the creatures respawn, but the coins that were in the level that you then lost from dying, they don't reappear.
Oh.
So it's like I'm losing out on, you know, the game's currency, but also feeling like the game is kind of broken and I can't progress through it.
Dang.
So, unfortunate.
Really not selling this game to me at all.
Yeah, unfortunate. Like, maybe I'll give you a chance to try it out on my Vita just to see if, like, you can get this thing, because you're the platform guy. And I'm just like, wow, this thing is tough.
It's so funny we say I'm the platform guy. I enjoy platforms more, but I'm terrible at them. You don't enjoy platforms as much, and you're probably better at them.
I don't know, man. This game is like, it's making me feel like, man, you don't know how to platform at all. So I'll see if it's just me or if, like, something clicks, like, later on. But
right.
Yeah, I ended up kind of just being like, okay, I got, like, a trophy or two early on in this thing, and then I was just like, I'm done. Why can't I get past this level? I'm done. I don't have time for this.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate. And that's why I think, even though the game seems like it should be pretty easy to get trophies for and stuff, on PSN profiles it's only like 20% of people have it.
Oh wow.
Of the platinum. So that's why I'm like, oh yeah, this something's different about this game compared to the usual easy platinums, who have, like, you know, 80-90% of the trophies and everything. But the other game that I will mention that I've, you know, been enjoying quite a lot is Eldest Souls. That one just came out on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday. The 29th. And I started playing it on the 28th when it, you know, released at like 9 or something like that night. Man, the game's real good.
Is it now? I didn't know it was a boss rush game.
Yeah. So that is something different. Yeah, that it's not in the sense of, you know, like a Hyper Light Drifter or something else like that.
Blasphemous.
Yeah, not like Blasphemous or like, you know, Dark Souls, things like that. It's difficult in terms of, like, you know, the bosses are tough. But it is a boss rush game. So you're kind of going from boss to boss. But kind of similar to things like Fury and what was the other game? Titan Souls. there are bits, more so than Titan Souls, but there are bits of information in between, you know, bosses that you find, like, either in, like, written down notes or, like, characters that you can talk to a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give you more information about the world and everything, because the world is kind of, you know, on its last legs, basically. Gods and humans are kind of against each other and stuff, and humans managed to, like, lock the gods up, but now the gods are kind of breaking free a little bit.
Right.
And crazy kind of, like, dark gothic kind of things going on here, but in terms of, like, the gameplay itself, it's real tight, and man, bosses are tough, but, like, I don't feel like I'm losing because they're tough. I'm losing because I need to figure out how to work these patterns and stuff.
Right, to get better.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a, you know, it is Titan Souls, I think, as a boss rush game, easier because those ones all go down in one hit type of thing, except for maybe, like, you know, secret bosses towards the end of the thing. But in terms of, you know, like, overall, like, kind of getting through these things, it is kind of like you got to be patient to fight these bosses because their health bar, you know, you do pretty little damage from just regular attacks, and you have to really learn how to kind of chain together your charged attacks. Charged attacks also, which is a cool thing, is, like, something that brings what they call your bloodlust meter up. And when that thing is full, each attack that you hit with regenerates some of your health.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you've taken a hit, which, you know, when bosses hit you, they hit pretty hard.
It would be a lot of the time.
Yeah. Then basically you can start to recharge your health if you're doing, you know, well and kind of dodging in between here and there and then getting hits in that are good. So with that all going on, you also have this kind of, like, skill point system that, you know, there's three different skill trees, and you can take points out of them at any time to then, like, respec it into other skill trees. So that's a cool aspect. I'll have to see if playing more figures, like, if I figure out more about this system or not, because as I've been playing, I've seen that for one particular boss, I think it was, like, maybe the third one that I fought, he's, like, this god of light or something like that, who has this kind of, like, half angel, half devil kind of appearance to him. As you're kind of fighting this dude, you know, I'm losing a few times, and I decided to try and change up my skills that I was using. And when I changed them up, it left, like, these marks on my screen. And I don't know if that's something that's going to stay forever in this.
Mm.
So if it is, that's a little bit annoying because it gets in the way of reading some of the, like, text on, like, notes and things.
Right.
But if it's going to be, like, a reminder of, like, hey, you've switched this many times, I think that may be, like, a tonal type of thing they're going for, then it makes a little bit more sense. It's just, like, I want to know the story as well.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
If it's getting in the way of that, I'm like, ah, it's an interesting choice. Maybe not the best thing that could have been done.
Yeah, that's weird that they would put it there. That would, like,
almost
that, well off.
Yeah, like, it kind of, like, it made me think that, like, something was wrong with my TV for a moment. Like,
did I break it?
But then, yeah, then I you know, played around with it a little bit again because I picked a skill tree that I was like, ah, I'm not fond of this one. So I switched to something else. And then a second mark appeared. And I was like, oh, yeah, so it is doing this thing. And I eventually went back to the original skill tree I was using because it seemed to work the best. And so, yeah, if it keeps up there, I may start the game over just because I'm not super far in yet.
Yeah.
And I want it, like, to be able to read all the text because reading around gets you bits and pieces, but I want to kind of know for sure what's going on.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, though, you know, real fun gameplay. I might even say the gameplay feels more responsive than Death's Door.
Oh.
Which... I'm, like, surprised it's slightly lower. Not slightly. It's, like, 10-ish points lower,
yeah,
score-wise.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, huh, yeah, that's interesting. I think the world of Death's Door is cooler and the art style is cooler. It just looks more modern, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, combat-wise, I feel like Eldest Souls is more, like, action-packed and stuff. And there's kind of more variety of what you can do as opposed to what Death's Door's is.
Interesting.
But, yeah, really fun game, though. And I think it's only, like, $20. So... if you want to try it out, good stuff.
I'm not a huge fan of boss rush games.
Ah, dang. Yeah, yeah. It's a specific type of game for sure.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody. But yeah, I think Fury was my first boss rush game that I really, like, went through and played and beat and stuff.
Yeah, that one hit you hard.
Oh, yeah. That one was real good. Then I was just like, oh, man. I don't know why people are complaining. It's a boss rush. This is awesome. It's like I'm skipping the menial, like, fighting little, like, you know, peons and stuff in between. And
yep.
I just get to the bosses and stuff. So, you know, there's cool things about boss rush games, but I know it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what is for everybody, though, Michael? Quizzes.
Quizzes are for everybody. I was like, where are you going with this? I was like, side quest?
Quizzes are for everybody. So why don't you go ahead and take me on a side quest over here?
All right. So this week is Video game releases.
Oh, that's gonna be rough.
It's gonna be a very hit and miss.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So you can get them all wrong, or you can get them all right.
Oh no. Oh no. Prediction of the future. It's an 11. It's not looking great.
Yeah,
right.
It's not looking great. But the good thing is, they're all games that you've played.
Okay. Okay.
In a decent capacity.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
Let's see what these are looking like.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Golden Sun. When did this game... The question is, it's going to be the game and it's multiple choice dates.
Okay.
Golden Sun. A, November 12th, 2001.
Wow.
And B, September 17th, 2002. C, August 1st, 2000. Or D, July 4th, 1775.
Oh, right.
So there's only three.
I know. It's a 33% chance. Oh man, okay. So I want to say this game feels
now. These
like...
are all dates in North America releases.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
No Japan ones.
Gotcha. Okay, that works. I want to say this game feels like not a November release.
Okay.
What were the other two? There was a
September 17th, 2002, and then August 1st, 2000.
Oh boy.
And then November 12th, 2001.
Oh boy. Okay. How old was I when I
was? Turn those wheels.
Yeah, man. Okay. Let's go with 2000.
So August 1st, 2000?
Yeah.
See? That's your final answer.
Let's do that.
You'd be incorrect.
Dang it.
It's November 12th, 2001.
It was November.
It was November.
I've been betrayed. Betrayed by my intuition.
That 11's not doing good for you. Okay.
Oh my gosh. That's 10 psychic damage, Michael.
God. Number two.
Okay, yeah.
Splinter Cell.
Oh.
The first one.
Oh boy.
A, December 4th, 2004.
Uh-huh.
B, November 17th, 2002. C, October 11th, 2003. Or D, October 21st, 2015.
Man. Now see, the tough thing with all these... And this is not me stalling, because there's no way I can pull this from my brain. The tough thing with all these is, like, this is before I was paying attention to video game releases.
Yeah.
So you're a real jerk. Let me see. Okay, so there was a 2001, you said?
2004. December 4th, 2004. B, November 17th, 2002. C, October 11th, 2003. Or T, October 21st, 2015. It's clearly that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, read me B and C again.
B is November 17th, 2002. C is October 11th, 2003. The choices.
When did Golden Sun come out again?
2001.
Man, these things came out so close together.
They did.
Oh, okay, let's say... Because I don't think I was like...
Put yourself in a time and place.
I know. Like, my time and place for, like, frame of reference was, like, I remember playing this, like, renting it from Blockbuster, but also playing this in the garage really early in the morning.
Yep.
Because I was like, man, I don't have, like, time to beat this thing before I have to bring it back to Blockbuster, which means more money if I want to have to rent it again.
You should have done the whole thing where you put a different CD in the game and then, or in the case.
That's awful.
And then
that's awful.
Yeah, I never did that. What are you talking about?
But I mean, that would have been middle school,
yeah,
for sure. Which all these dates kind of line up around.
Except
so 15. Yeah, except 2015. Let's say 2002. Let's do that one.
November 17th, 2002.
Yeah,
you'd be correct.
Yeah,
look at that. Splinter Cell fan.
Ubisoft loves their November late year releases.
Okay, now number three, the greatest game of all time. John Woo Stranglehold.
Oh my gosh. I'm dying over here.
September 7th, 2007. B, January 11th, 2005.
Okay.
C, November 22nd, 2010. Or D, every year.
Every year. Man, I guess I'll say 2005?
2005.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Be incorrect.
What
B-
was
A,
it?
September 7th, 2007.
Wow, was it really 2007?
Yep, it was. An Xbox 360 game.
Wait, was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang. Okay, I was thinking it was on Xbox.
They came out on three dates, but I did the first one, which was the Xbox 360.
Okay.
And then it came out on the Windows, and then it came out on PlayStation 3, all in 2007, though.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, because it was, there were achievements, but no trophies. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Got my systems mixed up. I was like, best game ever. This is an Xbox game, just regular Xbox.
Those graphics, man, they were great.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's crazy that that came out in 2007.
Yeah.
I was halfway through high school.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez, okay.
Number four, Morrowind.
Dang.
A, July 10th, 2000.
Uh-huh.
B, June 6th, 2002. C, May 17th, 2001. Or August 1st, 2021.
Okay, wait, you said there was a 2000 in there?
Yes, so July 10th, 2000, June 6th, 2002, May 17th, 2001. Or 2021.
Oh, I think when I got this game, it was already a Game of the Year edition.
Oh,
it was one of the, from memory wise, video games wise, one of the coolest, like, all right, I'd say like most impactful video game Christmas gifts I ever got.
Right.
Because man, Morrowind just ate up all my time.
I can imagine.
I'm gonna say 2001.
May 17th, 2001.
Yeah, let's go with that.
You're being correct.
Was it 2000?
June 6, 2002.
Oh, 2002. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Came out on the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah.
It was May 1st, 2002 for the Windows, but I was like, nah, we don't play computer games.
We don't count PC games. But yeah, dude, man, wild, wild.
Yeah.
So 2002?
2002.
Wow. Is that what we said the same year as Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell was 2002 as well.
I think we are discovering slowly that the greatest year of gaming was 2002.
If Golden Sun was just a year later, it would have been two.
I know. That would have been great.
Okay.
All right.
And last one. Mm-hmm. When I said John Woo, Stranglehold's the greatest fighting... greatest game of all time.
Yeah.
This one...
Oh, no.
...should be. Fighting Vipers, if you remember, is the greatest fighting game you played in Judgment.
Oh, awful. Jeez. I was like, what the heck is this game?
The one that you love so much and was so good at.
The lady with roller skates and the guy with, who's clearly supposed to be Axel.
Fighting Vipers.
All right.
A, December 29th, 1990.
Wow.
B, October 29th, 1995. C, January 21st, 1998. Or D, December 25th, 1800. It's that old of a game.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Now I should preference this.
Yeah, yeah.
There were multiple dates. Now okay. The one I chose was give me a second. The one I chose was the Saturn console release. Because there's one in the arcade.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
That only had the month and I wanted the date too.
Okay. Makes sense.
This is the Saturn release, which was after.
Okay. So let me see. I remember there was a 90 in there. There was a 95.
90, 95, 98, and 1800.
Man.
I would recommend 1800.
Game plays like this from the 1800s. I'll say 95. I'll go in the middle.
95, is that your final answer?
Yeah. I'm going to kick myself if it's 90, though, because it feels so old. Like, it deserves one of the oldest dates on there.
It is 95.
Yeah. There we go.
Look at you.
Look at me. What was that?
2 out of 5.
Yeah. Wait, didn't I get one more? Oh, no, I missed it.
You missed Stranglehold and you missed.
Gotcha. Okay. 2 out of 5. Not too bad.
Not too bad. All great games, though.
Yeah. Except for that last one. That trash fire of a game. Jeez. 1995. They called and they want their game back. I'm like, take it away.
Don't worry. It's in Judgment. You can play whatever you want.
Jeez. Yeah, dude, awful. Man, I told you that I played that minigame and played it too long. I didn't realize I didn't have to play it more.
Yeah.
That was awful. Worst mistake ever.
Oh, ruined Judgment for you.
Yeah, a little bit. Made that experience way more memorable in the bad way.
That's a shame.
Oh, man. But Judgment's cool, though. I like it. That has been another episode of the Bros and Consoles podcast, though, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. If you do have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Hopefully, we got some cool things coming out sometime soon. I know we are like just under 2 weeks away from the release of Hades on Xbox, Game Pass, and PS4, Yeah, it's not PS5, it's PS4.
Yep.
But yeah, man, this will be exciting. This will be exciting to kind of see what's happened next. What are the, let me see. You have a few games. Oh, 12 minutes. There we go.
That's another one coming out.
That's the same week as Hades, isn't it?
It might be.
Let me check this real quick. I've got a release calendar over here. Oh, no, it is the next week. So it's the 19th.
Are you going to get Hades?
Well, it's on Game Pass, so I will have Hades.
There you go. You can enjoy it more than you enjoyed it on the Switch.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna play it on there, man. I just need it on a bigger screen, I think is what I want.
That's fair.
I want it, like, blown up. And at the time, I was playing it, like, undocked, so that wasn't working. It was working, and I could have docked it. But it was, like, I was playing it, I think, on the go.
That's
so
fair.
That was what was going on there. It wasn't that, like, I was at home, and I was like, oh, I should play this doc, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't just, like, pouting to myself.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, like, I want to play this on a big screen, and also there's a bunch of other things going on.
I get it.
So, yeah, we're starting to get into some pretty cool territory here. Got Hades, got Road 96 coming out the following week.
Psychonauts 2.
Yeah, Psychonauts 2 coming out.
No More Heroes 3.
Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. The day after 12 minutes. A lot of things happening, Michael. And there would have been Kena: Bridge of Spirits.
Yeah.
But we've been spared a little bit. Sunday. September is already going to be a packed month.
Suck.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I'm hoping I can play some of these games before, mm-hmm. most likely Tales of Arise before Judgment comes out, because that's going to take up like all of my time.
Yeah. It's going to be wild. Like, there's going to be a lot of things going on that month and not much time to do it.
No.
So another cool one, though, in September, towards the end of it, Astria Ascending. I'm interested to see how that one turns out.
It does look really cool.
It looks beautiful.
This is the one that's like Dragon's Crown a little bit, right?
Yeah. Artwork-wise, it looks like that, but it's got like, I think it's more like turn-based RPG kind of battle styles. So I'm wanting to see how this turns out. It looks really cool. But we'll have to find out more about that once we get into September. For now, let's just focus on August, and we'll be seeing you all again next week. Until then, play some cool games, and we'll talk to you later.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.